Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the third day of March, year 2024. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Jubilee. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda Kumriambeth Yakida. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And, of course, we want to remind you the Daily Mail page is where we put links of interesting things we find out about, whether it's health, politics, or whatever. And also the home page, the first page, is where you get information if you feel like helping us out with a donation. And for those that do, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's a page called Contact Us. If you don't have my personal phone number, email, etc., you can send me a note via that page. And I will take care of it as quickly as possible. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality, which is what? Mystery Babylon. To change something, meaning to change the world we live in, build a new model. An existing, that makes the existing model obsolete. What's the new model? The new model is to have a society based on Yahweh and Yahweh's law. So we have to repent of what our ancestors did when they foolishly asked for a king rather than having Yahweh as their ruler. That was a great, great, great big mistake, and we are suffering for that. So we want to build a better mousetrap. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, meaning far out of town, the world will make a beaten path to his door. In other words, if you have a better idea or a better invention or whatever, then people in general will beat a path to your door, meaning they will go there naturally. They don't need a bunch of bureaucrats making laws, regulations, statutes, etc., to get you to do what's common sense. Okay, when they make laws and regulations, they're trying to help out their Jewish masters because they don't follow that. Their ways are not better than our ways. Their ways are to take advantage of the world and even pollute the world just so they make money. Just the opposite of we, Yahweh's people. And Yahweh says he will destroy those who destroy the earth. And so that time is right around the corner. Revelation 18, verse 4, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her transgressions, called sins, and in her punishments. During the broadcast today, we're going to talk about some things coming to light here recently that makes it sound like to me that Yahweh's punishments are about to take place. And remember, Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings, that's you and me, we are the kings of his kingdom. It is their honor to search out a matter. And of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, doesn't say the world, if my people, on whom my name is named, make themselves humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions, and will give life to their land again. You know, we're killing the world. And this is where Yahweh told us that if he did not end this nonsense shortly, no flesh would be saved. We're very close to that, because these Cretans and these miscreants that we call governments and merchants are literally destroying the world and destroying the people that are in it. Another old adage that is very much common sense: when the government fears the people, we have liberty. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. You and I have been living in a tyranny for quite some time. Henry David Thoreau told us that there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root, meaning only one person out of 1,000, or 0.1%, get it. That's usually what the ratio is. About 1 out of 1,000 see clearly enough as to what is the root of our problem. Okay? There's a couple roots. One is our disobedience to our Father and the fact that we turned our back on our King. And number two is who are Jews and who are not. Who are these people who self-identify as Jews in the kingdom? Okay, are they friend or foe? And obviously the answer to that is, for anybody that's ever looked into it, they are not our friends. Never have been and never will be. I listened to a Mickey Klann, K-L-A-N-N, Mickey Klann interview with Nino Rodriguez. It was very interesting in that she talked about the trusts, the fact that we live in a system of law that is trust law. Now, most people don't have any idea what trusts are. And I have to admit, I never really looked into it much, but I've done some studying, and I just had a visitor here from South Africa whose specialty is setting up trusts, especially for good people and believers, to help protect their assets, because that is their world, this mercantile system that we live in. And so one of the vehicles to protect yourself is setting up a trust, because people can manipulate things like wills and other legal documents. It's much harder to steal what is yours when it's locked into a trust, especially if you set it up properly. Too many details to go into. Anybody interested in that area, if they contact me either through the website or my personal contact information, I will put you in touch with a gentleman by the name of Cobus, who was here for about 3 days. And during that time, he was speaking of the exact same things that Mickey Klann was talking about in that radio interview with Nino Rodriguez. So it's very interesting. And she talked about the fact that a group of our people, meaning the men and women upon the land, we're not these dead entities, these stillborn people that the antichrists consider us. That's why you have a mortgage. That's why you have a birth certificate where you were sold into bondage, your straw man, etc. A lot of details there. I don't even want to go into all that, but it's very interesting that people are starting to figure this out. And apparently the people in Maricopa County in Arizona went into a board of supervisors meeting and served notices of liability on the members of that council. And they immediately, or almost immediately, shut the meeting down and ran out of the building. If this catches on fire, this is going to happen across the land, because the people did not take their rebuttals and just constantly told them that they are on notice for their criminal behavior. And again, many details. Go listen to the interview with Nino and Mickey. There are a lot of information that came out of there. So that's one of the significant things that's going on. And then there's also a Christian radio station called Blood River which is www.bloodriverradio.com, just interviewed Alfred and Monica Schaefer, and they are the people that spent time in prison for telling the truth about World War II and the hoax accost. And for that, they spent time in prison. Alfred did more than Monica. But very interesting that even mainstream, more mainstream Christian broadcasters are talking about the attack on the white race, the true Israelites, and the attack on our freedoms that were guaranteed to us by our Heavenly Father. Also, the exposure of how these miscreants that walk amongst us have trapped us into their, quote, legal system with sophistry, which is the same as sorcery. The Bible tells us, warns us many times about sorcery. All right. Well, the enemy uses sorcery. Nakash was the first to use word magic and sorcery on Eve in the garden. Nakash was a man, not an angel, not a demon. No. There is no such thing. He was a man. Just like Ella and others have done the research, Nephilim can mean bully. And it was kind of funny. I got an email this morning from a guy that said that these people that are harassing our people are bullies. Well, one of the definitions of Nephilim, okay, is a bully. And what are Jews but bullies? They bully people. Look at how they're treating the Palestinians. Look how they're treating us, okay? The world over, these international financiers, which are probably 95% Jews. Look how they treat people, okay? So this is the time of the apocalypse, the unveiling. Kind of interesting. All these things are starting to come together. Ella's done the homework on the book of Daniel and the timeline. And Polny, I think he pronounces it. But Bo Polny was on the Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com interview, and he was basically talking about the same thing, that March is the first month of the year. Our true calendar system, March-April time frame, is the beginning of the new year. We can get into the details of that at a later time. That's why December is the 10th month, Deca, okay? September, Sept is 7, Oct is 8, October, okay? So we're coming into the beginning of a new year. And many people have talked about the fact that this is the year of the Jubilee. And that's why we're going to talk about some verses here in a second that have to do with the Jubilee. What is a Jubilee? When Yahweh sends a Jubilee for his people, especially the Great Jubilee, which happens every 50 years versus the 7-year. Kind of interesting that in our country, people say that we're not Christian and we weren't based on the Bible. Well, your bankruptcy laws are based on scripture, because you can file for bankruptcy, which is like a jubilee, but you can only do it once every 7 years, because that's the period of time the Bible says, 7-year jubilees. So it goes back to ancient Israel, our very bankruptcy laws and rules, okay? And then, of course, every 50th year was a great jubilee where everything gets zeroed out and property goes back to the original family. If you think about it, it's debt forgiveness. And we are living in a Jewish-run kakistocracy that does not allow for debt forgiveness ever. That's why it's bondage. That's why Yahweh said to never let these kind of things happen. Never let these people in amongst you. They are parasites. They're termites. They eat away at your structure. They love money. They'll do anything for money, including destroy your basic legal system, which is based on Yahweh's law, and turn it into a mercantile system based on their law, which is to rape, rob, and destroy everything around them, like the locust. The Bible talks about the locust will eat out a field. Well, that they are the locust that have come in to eat the sustenance out of our fields and leave it bare. Nothing left. That's why they've been driven out of other countries over 1,000 times in the history that we know of, probably more than that if we knew it all, because they go in and do the same things over and over again. The Jew wants us to think that we just don't like them because they're Jews, which is total bullshit. It's their behavior that gets them thrown the hell out, not because they're Jews. What difference would it make if they're Swahili, Jew, nomads, whatever? It's their behavior, their lack of ethics, the fact that they are destroyers, exactly as the Arian Christ, which means anointed one, said of them approximately 2,000 years ago. That's why they hate him to this day. They hate his children, Yahweh's children, that's us, because it exposes them for what they are. And they can't stand that. They work by deception. They work in the dark. That's why the Israelis over there are now in a very sticky situation, because it has come to light what monsters they are. Even the normies are waking up to the fact they have no empathy for mankind whatsoever, because they are actual monsters, just like the book says. Just like Yahshua said. Got a little note here. Don't forget, next weekend is daylight savings time clock change. So pay attention to that. Some areas of the country do not go to daylight savings time, and some of us do. Some states are in the process of eliminating daylight savings time, so you have to check your local situation out for yourself. But for the folks that do set the clocks ahead, it will be approximately next weekend. And I believe Florida is still doing it at the moment, though we're supposed to end it soon. The sooner the better. I think it's nonsensical. Daylight savings time was back when we were an agricultural society where most of the food was grown on farms. And the children were helping the parents out with the gathering of the harvest, and they wanted an extra hour of daylight. So daylight savings time was to help with agriculture and the bringing in of the harvest. At least that's what I always read about it, and that's what I understood it to be when I lived on a farm. So, of course, everything is up for grabs nowadays because we have name changers and history changers all over the place around us doing their nefarious things. In Leviticus chapter 25, starting at verse 8, you shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet, which means what? Make a very loud proclamation so that everybody can hear it. On the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property, and each of you shall return to his clan. Oh, return to your clan. So it's a racial thing, too. It's not only property, but it's got to do with your family, your race. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines, for it is a jubilee, which means that the vegetation even gets a rest. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy or consecrated to you. You may eat the produce of the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his property. Now, the Antichrist Jew, the communists that have infiltrated through an insurgency our land, They don't want us to have any property. Remember, Klaus Schwab, the piece of shit Jew that he is, said you'll own nothing and be happy. Well, that's not saying that you actually will be happy. They're telling you, we're going to take your property, and you better be happy with it, because there's not a damn thing you can do about it, Goyim. You stupid-ass white people, we're going to take it right out from under your noses. What are you going to do about it? That's your pompous-ass Klaus Schwab and other Jews like him. Monsters. Proclaiming to you, Whitey, that we're going to steal everything right from underneath you, and you're not going to do a damn thing about it. So be happy with your slavery. Be happy with the fact that you're a perpetual renter. And if you become in disfavor of the Jew, we will kick you out. That's what's here. That's where we're at in this time of the apocalypse. Okay? Now, we've all talked about the fact that at some point, Babylon's going to burn to the ground. Just read the book of Revelation. And who does the weeping and wailing? That's right, merchants and government officials, if you want to interpret it properly. Government officials and merchants, and that includes bankers, are weeping and wailing as Yahweh burns this Jewish Babylonian construct to the ground. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah? Again, you and I, we alone can't do anything about it. The Jews, right. They hooked us. They deceived us. They connived you into signing contracts and signing your rights away, at least in their system. But are your rights really gone? No, of course not. All you have to do is turn off the brainwashing and stand upon the ground as a living man or living woman in Yahweh's kingdom. You belong to him, not these assholes. But you have to proclaim it. You have to have the mental attitude that you are a son or daughter of the Creator, Yahweh God. And their make-believe system, this Babylonian hell that we find ourselves in, has no power over you. Interesting that when Cobus from South Africa was here this week and was talking about the times he's been in court, where he proclaimed to them, don't touch me, etc. I belong to the Creator, Yahweh God. I am his son. I'm not this fiction that you've created on paper with the all capital straw man terminology, which, by the way, is a trust. So you better start studying up a little bit on how trusts work, because you're part of it. Your name in all caps is part of a trust. And you're a beneficiary of that trust. Again, Cobus and these other people are like Mickey Klein or Klan, K-L-A-N-N, Klan. They can go into much more detail because they've been studying it for a lot longer than I have. But I've heard enough of it that it makes perfect sense with what I see going on around me and with the double witness of Scripture. So are we in that time? It sure seems like it, because Yahweh is bringing some good actors, not bad actors, like these government agents and bureaucrats, which are mental rejects. By the way, go to a good encyclopedic dictionary and look up the word bureaucrat, which is what your politicians and public servants are, bureaucrats. It's not very complimentary. It says a public servant who does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. Let that sink in. That's right out of Webster's encyclopedic unabridged dictionary I have sitting on my shelf right over here. It's about 4 inches thick, okay, from the 1980s. A bureaucrat who does things every day by procedure, which means he does the same things without intelligence. That's why when you talk to a bureaucrat and you try to reason with them, all they can keep saying is what the party line is. And that has creeped over into corporate America. Did you ever notice when you call your credit card company or your bank or whatever, the people on the other end can't leave the script. They have to give you patent answers right out of this little book that they have sitting in front of them, and they won't deviate from it because, again, they do the same things by rote procedure without intelligence. They don't have the intelligence. And the masters, these corporate entities, these Zionist communist pigs at the top, don't give them any latitude to think about things or have discretion. Just like cops, they've turned them from peace officers into law enforcement officers. You see, they've weeded out the people that knew that a police officer has discretion and he's part of the community. His job is to allow for peace, to maintain peace, and only people disturbing the peace, as it was when I was a boy. If you were not disturbing the peace, then somebody in a uniform should never be on your property, ever, under any circumstances. But now they're law enforcement, and that's why they wanted it that way. It's a paradigm shift. So they want people in uniform with badges to be just like soldiers taking orders from the politicians and bureaucrats. Just as my grandfather told me when I was a little boy, the police and the people with badges are an army for the political folks. They're not there for our benefit, for the most part. And that's what they've turned them into because we've become Judaized, especially since the turn of the century when the early 1900s. So for just over 100 years now, we've been completely Judaized in this country. They took control of the courts, took control of the government, took control of our media. And so they have propagandized us to where we are more Jew than they. Turned us into twice the children of hell. Because we have Yahweh's talents. We have his creativity. And why are we twice the child of hell? Because the Jew has none of those things. They're not smart. They're not hard workers. They're not intuitive. No, they're not. Everything attributed to a Jew, as far as an invention, is something he stole from one of our people 99% of the time. They take credit for it, much like the guy that takes credit for inventing the electron tube that makes a movie camera work. That was stolen from a young boy out in the Midwest on a corn farm. He actually designed a working tube because nobody else could do it. And they stole it from the family. The Jews stole it from them, and the family never got a dime. And yet, look what they've made in the movie industry. Okay? That's what Jews do. Parasites, termites. And if they were so damn smart, then why do they have to steal everything? Okay? They're not. They're not good with money. They're not good with anything. What they're good at is lying, deceiving, cheating, and stealing. That's what they're good at. Just like Christ said. Okay? If you just listen to what it says in Scripture and the Holy Spirit's telling you about these people, stop listening to the propaganda. Okay? Albert Einstein was a complete moron, but he was a good thief. Yes, he worked in a patent office. Where do you think he got all those ideas and designs? And he made sure his buddies down at the synagogue got all the stuff from the patent office, which is where our people were silly enough to put patents out so that the Jews could go into the patent office and steal their ideas. This stuff's been going on for a long time. We are definitely ready for a great jubilee. We should all be lifting our hands in prayer to the Almighty that this be the time of that great jubilee. Or as it says here in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 61, the year of Yahweh's favor. Starting with verse 1, again, chapter 61. The Lord Yahweh's Spirit is on me because Yahweh has anointed me. This is Isaiah obviously talking, to preach good news to the humble. Okay, does it say preach good news to the blasphemous, or the proud, or the liars, or the cowardly? No, it says to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, that's you and me, folks, and release to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Those are words of comfort to our people alone. And amongst our people, the true Israelites, those who are humble. So just because you're an Israelite, are these words of comfort to you? No. But if you're humble, if you're righteous, if you have faith, if you fear the living God more than the beast system, then yes, these are words of comfort to you. Verse 3, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, again, a select group of people, to give them a garland for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. So once again, everything going on is to what? Glorify the Creator, not you and me. Come on, let's face it. You and me don't deserve a damn thing. Okay? He gets all the credit. He gets the glory, but he gets that by his children behaving in righteousness. And he promises a day of reconciliation, which we believe is where we're at right now, as we're coming into a new year in the Hebrew calendar. They will rebuild the old ruins. Look at America. She's in ruins right now. They will raise up the places long devastated. They will repair the ruined cities that have been devastated for many generations. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners will work your fields and your vineyards. Now, see, the Jews like to hijack the Old Testament because of verses like that, where they claim that that's why they are the supremacists. Jews think that we, the Goyim, are the foreigners and strangers that should do all their hard work for them. But again, they have hijacked this position. They are the Revelation 2:9 imposters, pretending to be Jacob Israel when no, they are not. You and I are. You and I are. But again, the apocalypse, the revealing, these things are now coming out left and right. And the fact that the mainstream churches are completely void of truth and honesty and integrity. The mainstream churches, especially the Roman Catholic Church, is actually a den of thieves, pretending to be of Yahweh God, but actually they're whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. That's exactly what churches are. It's interesting that they paint themselves white. Most cathedrals and most churches paint themselves white. They are whitewashed sepulchers, because inside it's full of dead men's bones. They're tombs. That's where you go to die, because you're not going to hear truth in those things. Never. But you will be called Yahweh's priests. Men will call you the servants of our God. You will eat the wealth of the nations, and you will boast in their glory. Instead of your shame, you will have double. Instead of dishonor, they will rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they will possess double. Everlasting joy will be to them. And again, now, who's the them? All right? Those who are righteous and humble, who do the work of our Father. It's not a freebie that goes out to just any old buddy. For I, Yahweh, love justice. Ooh. So does that mean that the people he's talking to here should be Radamanthine? Yeah. Rhadamanthine, to be strictly and uncompromisingly what? Just. That's what you and I are supposed to be, Rhadamanthine men and women. Because why? Isaiah 61 verse 8, for I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. Because we're drowning in those two. I will give them the reward in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring, woohoo, that's us, will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge them, and they are the offspring which Yahweh has blessed. But there again are conditions. This whole idea of unconditional love, I hate it. Every time I hear about unconditional love, I just cringe. What do you mean, unconditional love? I love my children, but I expect obedience. I love animals, but I expect obedience. When I had a dog, if he was chewing on a furniture, he got a swift kick. And if he kept on doing it, he went out to the woods. You expect obedience. And our Father's no different. He loves us, but he expects obedience. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul will be joyful in my Elohim God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth produces its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring up, so the Lord Yahweh God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before the nations. Because that's our job. That's our job. Just a second. All right? That's what we're here for, to praise and worship the living God. So that he can be our master, our king, our judge, and our lawgiver. He's all the offices that we need. We don't need man-made government. For crying out loud, has not mankind come to the knowledge of the fact man-made governments are the worst elements of this world? Responsible for the economic enslavement and murder of innocent people by the tens and tens of millions? Why in the hell would anybody worship man-made government? Take a look around you at the mess this world's in because man-made government has lost its mind. Praise Yahweh that people are now waking up to the fact that these people are psychopaths. And probably a combination of psychopaths and, as Ella pointed out with that video she sent out, dark empaths. That's a new category. Besides psychopath, sociopath, and narcissist, we have dark empaths. One is outwardly antagonistic to us, whereas the dark empath does it covertly. But they both will do the same thing to you. So we have some very mentally ill people in our society. And if you haven't figured out that we have some mental illness going on, then you may be part of the problem. Okay? You certainly are not part of Yahweh's remnant if you can't tell that there are some really seriously wrong things going on today. You have no conscience. You have no empathy. You have no spirituality about you. You're part of that valley of dead and dry bones that Ezekiel talked about. And trust me, that valley's huge. Take a look out your window and you'll see lots of zombies, lots of spiritually dead zombies walking around. But out of that valley of dead and dry bones, a righteous army is to arise and become vast and mighty. That is the point Obadiah at verse 18 is talking about, when the sons of the living God become a flame and a fire. That's our job. That's our destiny, boys. We are to become lions, not little pussycats running around. Lions roaring out commands to the ungodly. We don't have to take their shit. Instead, we should be dishing it out in righteousness. Not as a payback, not in vengeance, but in righteousness, enforcing God's law upon the wicked. Just as Psalm 149 clearly states, it's our honor to bring the judgments written upon the heads of the wicked. Just like it says in Malachi chapter 4. The whole world is in travail, waiting for us to get off our ass. Wake up, lions. Learn how to roar once again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Wake up here, Jacob Israel. Listen. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy or consecrated people, also called nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's it talking about? Called you out of your ignorance. That's what darkness represents. Ignorance of what? Truth. Ignorance of Yahweh's law. Ignorance of common sense. Ignorance of empathy for mankind. Ignorance for empathy of your brothers and sisters. Instead of fighting with each other and bickering and gossiping and sticking knives in each other's back, you're all part of a family. Yahweh's sitting there wondering, what the hell's wrong with my family? They act more like a bunch of Jews. Backstabbing, stealing, lying, cheating, gossiping. Supposed to be family. Supposed to love one another. Lift each other up. Think about each other. Pray for each other. Help each other. Instead, sometimes it's hard for me to tell the difference between a Jew and one of my people. So he called us out of darkness, ignorance, lack of knowledge of his law, into his marvelous light. When you do things his way, is it not marvelous? Is there not logic? Is there not common sense? Is there not prosperity, joy, health, happiness? You're only going to get those when you do things his way, folks. If you do it the way of the world, the way these miscreant Jews and their well-paid lapdogs, like we have in our governments today, the little lapdogs like AOC and all the rest of those cretins, and cretins just means somebody without any intelligence, and most of them are cretins, and miscreant means somebody without morals. Right? That's the vast majority of these people walking around. I just call them zombies for short. They got no intellect and they've got no moral compass. They're just kind of bags of bones bouncing around trying to get the most out of this life before they wither up and die in misery. I know where I'm going when I leave here. That's why I've never worried about dying most of my life. I knew I had a job to do, so I wanted to stay alive to get the job done. But other than that, he can take me home anytime he wants, because on the other side, it's a whole hell of a lot nicer than it is here. This is a living hell here. I'm going to tell you, it's a living hell. Because even amongst our own people, it's rough. With their anger and their deception and lack of faith, and their Debbie Downer syndrome. Oh, you can't win, Dan. They've got drones that can look in your window and kill you. Oh my, I might as well give up. The enemy has technology, and all I've got is Yahweh. Oh, let's just give up and die and go away. Let the Jews run the show. Really? That's the attitude you want? I don't know. I kind of like this the verse that says that no weapon formed against me will prevail. Of course, they got all that technology, but that doesn't mean it works. Look, I'm telling you, I was in the United States Air Force. I worked on some of the most sophisticated electronics of that day. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It didn't work all the time. In fact, it failed quite a few times. And it took us, the technicians on the ground, a lot of manpower to keep that stuff running, to keep it calibrated, to keep it working. All right? It wasn't just a forget, what do you want to call it? Something you... Yeah, Kong. They knew we had all that technology, and yet we still didn't win the war, did we? We had B-2s with all kind of electronic jammers on it. We had all kind of ground radar. We had all kind of gigantic bombs. We sprayed the deforestation, Agent Orange over everything. We had all that, and yet we didn't win. We didn't win. In fact, we haven't won anything, really. We didn't win World War I, World War II. The Jew did. You and I didn't win it. We didn't win anything. They did. They killed off our best of our men, and they made a lot of money while they were doing it. So that was a double harvest for them. So they were laughing all the way to the synagogue while we're out on the field dying because we're too stupid to figure out who they are. And the church world was so corrupt, they weren't telling us the truth about who the enemy was. James chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, Yahweh God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, let's go to the dictionary for the word humble, because I think some people don't even know what it means. Marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or prideful. Number two, low or inferior in station or quality. Three, used of unskilled work, especially domestic work. Number four, of low birth or station. But number one is the one primarily being used here, marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or proudful. The humble. Psalm 25, verse 9, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Do you see how many times in Scripture we're told being humble is one of the keys to living a life for our Father? Is anybody taking notice of that? Okay, being humble. Oh, by the way, let me tell you, next week I plan on having a guest. Keith is supposed to join us, Keith from out on the West Coast. He's got some things to share with us that sounds pretty interesting. So next week, Keith will be our guest. Psalm 25, verse 9. Oh, I already read that. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves before Yahweh, and he will exalt you. I've noticed in all my years of doing the Patriot thing and trying to wake people up, but to help others around me. And one thing I've noticed in the courtroom, they are completely intimidated by Bible believers. It just drives them crazy. If they see you in there, you're dressed up properly, you conduct yourself like a gentleman or a lady, they see a Bible in your hands, it just blows their mind. At least the ones I was in, okay? Because most of them are not, the judges and the courtrooms and all, are not run by our people, they're run by the enemy. So when we humble ourselves before Yahweh, he exalts us. He also lets the enemy know what we're all about. And the enemy does not like it. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of Yahweh God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That's right. Your grace in being saved is a gift of the Father. You did not earn it. It's his gift to you. But faith without works is what? Dead. So if you have faith in the Father, your works are a natural consequence. It's not something you consciously do thinking you're going to gain something from the Father. No, it's not how it works. It's not how it works. But works should naturally flow out of you if he dwells within you. You see how that works? So we are definitely in a time of turning right now. We're coming into the new Hebrew year. This could be the great Jubilee period of time. There's certain signs out there that are pointing in that direction. But you got to remember, during the period of time when he is going to lavish his blessings upon his righteous children, he's also going to be dishing out some heavy vengeance on the wicked. So it's a two-way street. Okay, there's a fork in the road. One is glorious and joyful. The other is dark, ugly, and painful. Every person has a choice, and there's only two choices. That's it. There is no middle ground. There is no quasi-gray area. No, no, no. You have the right way, and you have the left way. The way of the Jew, the dark, sinister, lying, cheating, deceiving way that will be punished severely in the days to come. Or you can go on the other side, and though you see things that are wrong in this world, you will notice that those on the path of righteousness walk a different walk. You'll also notice that Yahweh did not give our enemies the right to destroy us, or we would be gone already. They don't have that right. That's why they have to do everything by deception. They have to get you to do it to yourself, basically. Commit spiritual suicide. But conversely, if you break that mental hold over you, and turn all of that into positive energy to do good works, to do righteousness, and to ignore the enemy, you'd be amazed what can happen. And a significant number of mankind is starting to figure that out. A very significant number. So praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice it's a conditional statement here. Okay, it's called an if-then statement. Kind of interesting that Yahweh had me go into nuclear power for my career, and in that career, I spent 20 years as a procedure writer, technical procedure writer. And so I learned about writing procedures to help operators and maintenance people perform their tasks in the power plant, and how all of that training on word processors and dictionaries and grammar and if-then statements and certain verbs and things like that, how that all works. And it fits like hand in glove with Scripture and how to properly interpret when things like this, 2 Chronicles 7:14, would be in a technical procedure. It would be called an if-then statement. In other words, if this red light comes on and that horn sounds, then you have an alarm condition. If this buzzer goes off and this switch is in this position, then your pump is working fine. You see what I'm saying? If-then statement. So the if-then statement, if my people, and who are his people, called by my name. So if my people humble themselves, that's number one, pray, number two, seek my face, that's number three, and turn from their wicked ways. So there are four conditions, four ifs. Now, when the four ifs become done, when all four of them become a true, then the result. So what happens when all four of those things are done? Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, transgressions, and heal their land. What's our land? This plane we call earth. This is our land because it belongs to our Father, and we are inheritors. We are beneficiaries of Yahweh's trust. You see how that works? He is the grantor of the trust. The trustees are those who are supposed to oversee that you and I get our rewards as beneficiaries. Some people call them public servants or administrators. Their fiduciary responsibility to you and me as beneficiaries is to make sure that Yahweh's blessings come to his people. These people are interlopers. These trustees called public servants are not doing their job. They are not making sure you and I, as beneficiaries of our Father's trust, they are not doing that job. Therefore, they should be fired, every single one of them fired. And if they've committed a capital crime in the midst of their not doing their job, then they should be put on trial. And if found guilty, they should be hung by the neck till dead. These people are criminals. They are interlopers. They are operating under the color of law, when the only justification for any public servant is to be a trustee of the trust, so that the grantor's wishes, which is our Father Yahweh, that we receive the blessings of this land as beneficiaries of that trust. And again, if you watch the videos or contact any of the people that can tell you about how trusts work, you'll find out that it fits hand in glove with what our Father teaches us in Scripture. It makes perfect sense. We are the beneficiaries of our loving Father who made out a trust as the grantor of that trust, that we receive the blessings of this earth. Because we are his righteous sons and daughters, we will do the right things with these things that we are benefited with. Not the wicked. The wicked would what? Would they go out and get drunk, buy drugs, chase women, buy fancy cars, buy things they don't even need, do things that harm the earth, etc. That's what they've been doing because they are not true beneficiaries. The grantor specified in the trust, as it's written in Scripture, that as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that it is the humble that seek his face, means seek his wisdom, seek his knowledge, seek his law. The humble who pray and seek his ways and turn from their own wicked way, it is they that he identifies as the beneficiaries of the trust. Not everybody. The wicked aren't part of that. Liars. You know, the Scripture is very clear. Drunkards, liars, race mixers, blasphemers, the cowardly, they're not part of that. But you and I, as his sons and daughters who do our utmost to live according to his law and to treat each other as family, we are the beneficiaries. We are entitled to what he granted us. So the great jubilee most certainly sounds like it's coming. And with the coming of the great jubilee comes the great vengeance against those who would harm the earth, including some of the biggest scoundrels walking this earth that have Jewish names and Jewish faces. And the goyim that do their bidding for filthy lucre called money. Or in this day, it's even fake money. It's not even real money. Just digits in a computer. Yahweh's vengeance will come upon Babylon, and she will burn to the ground. Hallelujah. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters across this earth. We know many struggle, Father, at this time because of the persecution of the enemy that they have stolen from us, that they have usurped. They have become interlopers into our legal system and in our media and in our every institution that we have. Like a cancer, they have metastasized through our society. Like termites, they are eating away at our structures. This is the great apocalypse time, Father, that all these things have come to light. All the hidden things are becoming known. It's also the time that the sons of the living God, Yahweh, that they become the lions that he intends us to be, ready to pick up sword and spear and shield to defend the innocent and to punish the wicked. We pray for that day, Father. We pray for that great jubilee that you have promised your people. And we also pray for that vengeance upon the wicked. Let it be now, and that we be part of it, and that you would guide each and every one of us by your Holy Spirit to do the things that we should do to bring in your kingdom upon this earth, and to give this poor world a rest and restoration time, and bring back the pristine garden that was meant to be here for all of mankind. We ask and pray these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.